Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Of course, one topic dominates today's show, and that is Bayern Munich being crowned the 2020 UEFA Champions League winner. Kingsley Coman's goal, the difference between the two sides, first ever player, in fact, in the Champions League final to score against his old team. Ali Moreno, Frank LaBeouf and Craig Burley with me to reflect on the final. Craig, that wasn't quite as high scoring as we as expected. However, the best team won.
Yeah, the best team won, and we knew PSG would get chances. They did. Clearly didn't take them, that's stating the obvious, but they were good chances. And you'd expect much better, particularly the Mbappe chance not long before half-time. Quite an embarrassing finish, to be honest. And I personally didn't think Bayern got much out of first gear in terms of, you know, what they can produce, and still were able to control the game and win the Champions League.
Yeah, this wasn't quite what we were expecting, Frank. Why not?
Well, because of clumsiness of some players, and Craig just mentioned Mbappe. I think I'm not sure that Bayern Munich was the best team overall during the season of Champions League. Yes, but on that game, I think they were in control of the game. But Paris Saint-Germain had some chances to surprise them, to kill them even. And without a fantastic Neuer in goal, I think Paris Saint-Germain could have led the game in the first half. But again, many chances wasted by the strikers. And I think if I can resume the game, I think the defenses were better than the attacks.
Which wasn't what we were expecting, of course, Ali.
No, it wasn't. But I think a good example of that was the choice that Hansi Flick makes in terms of having Kingsley Coman playing Sergej Perisic, essentially telling us, you know what, we think Kingsley Coman can dominate in 1v1 situations. And in doing that, we don't need and we're not going to force Alphonso Davies to get forward down the left-hand side because Kingsley Coman can take care of that himself. Perisic cannot do that as well. He tucks inside. That's where Alphonso Davies goes on the overlapping runs. And I think it's by design then that Alphonso Davies did not really have a participation in the attack. He was holding back almost as if to say, you know what, this is our way of not dropping off. We're going to maintain our high line, but we're not going to take many chances going forward. And I think what you saw from Bayern Munich is they played a conservative game with a lot of talented players, and they did not want to take chances really going forward because the times that they did take those chances going forward, then PSG had opportunities. And when we say that PSG had opportunities, we're talking about a PSG team who had the chances fall to the right people. It's to Mbappe, it's to Neymar, it's to Di Maria. Three clear opportunities, in my opinion, in the first half that they did not take advantage of. And from then on, it was difficult to see PSG to get after Bayern Munich, particularly after Bayern Munich scored. When PSG got disorganized, they were more concerned about the fouls, the yellow cards, the physicality of the game, rather than playing the game. And no better example of that than Neymar, who in the second half had difficulties trapping the ball, passing the ball, doing the basic stuff. He was busy drawing fouls, but not actually having an impact on the game.
We gave Neymar a lot of credit going into this game, Craig, talking about this is some of the best football that we'd seen him play for PSG. But as Ali mentioned, that second half performance was much below what you would have expected from your talisman in such a big game.
Ineffectual.
Completely and utterly.
Don't need to say much more. Ineffectual. And Mbappe.
That's the problem, Frank. Certainly when you wanted your leaders to step up and to fight back and get yourself back into this match, Neymar didn't do it.
No, he didn't do it. And if everybody was pleased with his performances in the quarterfinal and semifinal, because he tried to create it but didn't score any goals, and again today he didn't do it, we want more from Neymar. We, again, in France, because he plays in the Ligue 1, we see him every week in, week out, not doing his best, not giving his best, just shouting to players, teasing players. Of course, it's easy for him, it's Ligue 1. But in Champions League, we want him to get something different than the other players. And as Ali said, he spent the half of the second half, you know, complaining about the players, even getting a yellow card, and not being focusing on his game and trying to make a difference. He had one chance in the first half, he missed it, and he had two chances in the quarterfinal, he missed them. He had one chance in the semifinal, he missed it. So, well, the conclusion is there. you know, he's a great player, but a great player has to make a difference. So he didn't do it, so we're going to be severe with him. And as Craig said, that was appalling.
Yeah, ineffective. And if you're a critic of Neymar, you've just added fuel to the fire, really, Ali.
Yeah, and I think another image that sticks with me about Neymar is, so the final whistle blows, the cameras naturally go to him and his reaction, and he's bursting into tears. And I don't mind a player showing his emotions. That's his prerogative, and that depends on the personality of each player. But what I would say to Neymar is, why are you crying now? What are those tears going to do? This opportunity that you had in front of you was 90 minutes ago, was behind you. The tears aren't going to do anything. What are you trying to buy some sympathy with that? Because it really is not going to fly. If you're Neymar and you played as well as you did leading up to this final, there's a level of expectation as to what you are and what you should be and what kind of player and what kind of impact you should have in a game like this. It's the same standard that you have for guys like Cristiano Ronaldo and you have for Lionel Messi and so on and so forth. So if Neymar wants to be at that level, and this is indeed why he went to PSG, this was the moment. So don't show me tears afterward. Show me the work and the substance and impact in the game that everybody was expecting.
Mbappe just as bad though, Frank.
It was a little bit better because I think he created better. But it's true that in the last chance that he had, I mean that was appalling when he get the ball and give it to Herrera. Herrera gives him back. He had the poorest shot I ever seen from Mbappe. I don't know, like he lost all the power of his legs, like he didn't want to score because the pressure was too much. I mean, that was really, again, appalling as Neymar. But I think his participation of the game, his creation was a little bit better than Neymar. I will give him a little bit more credit about that. But we knew, and we all knew, that Paris Saint-Germain would have a chance to win if Neymar and Mbappe would be effective. And they haven't been. And the result is as simple as that. They weren't there, so they scored no goals.
But why weren't they there, Craig? This is their stage. This is their time to shine, isn't it?
Well, in some sense, they did change a little bit in terms of their approach, because we talked about it with Frank. How much defending would they do? And actually, you know, Mbappe, particularly in the first half, saw himself back in the left-back area on Mullen on one occasion. It was a bit of a hybrid model, because sometimes he would track back in Neymar and sometimes they wouldn't, and they always caught Bayern on the hop a couple of times. But they were the ones that blinked first in terms of tracking back. We wondered if they would do it, and they were the ones that blinked first. So they changed their style slightly within the game at times to try and thwart Bayern Munich. And maybe that just took a little bit out of the legs. But it just didn't happen for them. I don't really know why on the night. I thought they would play more balls in behind. I thought they would go over the top quicker. And they didn't. There was only two or three occasions, really, certainly in the first half, maybe only one or two in the second half, where Bayern were having to turn and run back towards their own goal. So we saw the two teams play a certain way. Bayern did not change. But I certainly think Thomas Tuchel was the coach who just blinked first.
Yeah, that was leading to the next question, Frank. How much responsibility or blame will Thomas Tuchel get for this?
I don't know. I won't give him any blame about that. You know, I mean, the players are on the field, and some that we are expecting will give the difference to Paris Saint-Germain, didn't. And that's it. I mean, of course, yeah, they went back, they defended, they changed a little bit their game, but... But it's part of the game and what the opponent offer to you to make you change what you think of doing. But at the end of the day, they have chances to score. If Neymar and Mbappe and Di Maria scored when they have the chances to score, you say that Tuchel is the best coach in the world. They could have been 3-0 at halftime. But what can you do if you don't give 100%? Even 80% when you're Neymar and Mbappe and don't give what we expect from you. You can hammer the coach, but what can he do?
How's Icardi feeling, Frank?
Well, hopefully he feels bad because he didn't play and because he didn't come in. But I think I think it's normal to not see Icardi in that game. I mean, we didn't see him in quarterfinal. I think he's not the type of player who would have made the difference in that final, because we needed the pace, we needed the players who are capable of taking on other players. And I think Di Maria and Mbappe and Neymar were the right choices. But, you know, they missed their chances.
Listen, Dan. Half the teams. Let me go back to the point Frank made. And that, but just to, I think tie a bow on it. You know, in terms of the PSG credits and chances. Go back and watch the Bundesliga. Half the teams in the bottom half of the Bundesliga had chances against Bayern Munich, because that's the way they play. The bottom line here is, this was the first time in the knockout stages or the one-off stages of this competition that that PSG had faced one of the real big boys. Atalanta have got a budget the size of a packet of chips, and RB Leipzig have got no real pedigree in this competition. So this was the big test. And although they did create the odd chance, like a lot of teams do against Bayern Munich, Bayern in first gear bossed the game and still lost a centre-half in Jerome Boateng and had to make changes themselves, but bossed the game. And I think that was the difference between the two sides.
So did we get too excited about PSG, Craig?
Well, no, they deserve to be there. But we clearly saw the path on the way through was a quite fortunate one for them. You know, in terms of Atalanta, good side, but really don't have the depth of squad, have a marvellous manager in Gasperini, and RB Leipzig, who've got a really young manager in Nagelsmann and some good players, but you know, have no real pedigree in this competition and had lost their best player in Timo Werner. So the pathway to the final was not easy, but easier for them. But here we had them meeting the informed team in European football, who didn't have to play at their best to get the result.
Dan, I think you need to get some experiences from the Champions League. I mean, it's not the first final, obviously, for Bayern Munich. It was the first one for Paris Saint-Germain. And you learn from there. You learn as a club. You learn as players.
Isn't that just that's an easy excuse in there, Frank? You've got World Cup winners
in
that side.
No, it's not, because I have some example. Marseille lost in 91 and won in 93. Chelsea lost the first one and won the second one. And they're not the two clubs that we could name who were lost in the first finals and learned from there and won. And again, yeah, you can say that maybe they're not Paris Saint-Germain is not as the same pedigree as Paris and Munich. But again, they had chances to score in the first half. They would have done that. They would have won. And that's as simple as that. Football is made of details. If you resolve the most detail than the opponent, you're going to win the game. And but the detail is also finishing an action. And they didn't do that detail. They didn't resolve that detail.
And those details only really happened in the first half, Frank. Second half, there was no real spirit, I felt, after they conceded that goal. They seemed to be up on the ropes, and it looked more likely, didn't it, that Bayern were going to get a second as a PSG and equaliser. I think if I'm a PSG fan, that's what would disappoint me, that you're in this Champions League final, your first one ever, and I can't care about your experience in this competition. Surely this is your chance, your opportunity, and no one grasped it.
Well, don't forget that Marquinhos has a fantastic chance, and Neuer saved fantastically the Marquinhos chance. And you're right. It's what I said when we started, that Bayern was in control of the game, but it was the choice of Paris Saint-Germain. Maybe they didn't have the legs. Maybe they were expecting too much from their stars. But defensively, I saw fantastic Kimpembe. I saw fantastic Bernat. Nothing to say about Navas. Same for Thiago Silva. Carrier had maybe the best game of his season. But, well, they conceded one goal. Where this is a team, clearly we can score three or four goals per game. But today, there was a deficiency, how do you say that, from the forwards. And that's the result of the game.
So do you put it down as just one of those days, Ali, for PSG and their stars, or is it deeper than that?
No, I think it'd be too simple to say that it's just one of those days. I think if you're PSG, you look at this as a wasted opportunity. Whether you have had the experiences of the past or not, well, nobody has had the experiences of a pandemic and COVID-19 in the past. And so it made this tournament, because in the end it became a tournament, a short tournament, it made it a very unique situation. And in a very unique situation, PSG makes it to the final with all the momentum in the world, feeling good about themselves, with their good players, their best players playing at a high level and confident about their abilities. And now you have the chances to score and you don't. So it's not just as simple as say it's one of those days. I think if you look at the reaction or lack thereof by PSG after Bayern Munich scores, that's the part that you really have to point the finger at and say, wait a minute, where were these guys? Where is the leadership? What you saw from PSG and said then they got divided, they got fractured, they got disconnected all over the place, and everybody is complaining about the calls and the fouls and disruption in play and yellow cards and pushing and shoving, but very little playing. So all the opportunities that PSG had were in the first half, not in the second half. Yes, you mentioned the one by Marquinhos, but aside from that, there was really nothing in the attack from PSG and no real sequence of attack. So Bayern Munich won nothing, Champions League final. I think they were expecting PSG to get forward and to really give them some trouble. This was as comfortable as 1-0 could have been in a Champions League final against a team as talented as PSG.
And that talent shone through. Craig, the first ever team to win every single match in a Champions League campaign. Without a doubt, the best club team that we saw, of course, in this competition.
Absolutely, because Man City equally is talented, but just couldn't get the whole package right. You know, and I thought what was the epitome of the squad togetherness and the harmony that Hansi Flick is harmless was the pictures of him in the pitch at the end, particularly the one with Thomas Müller with his arms around him. And I think if anybody is going to thank Bayern for appointing this man, it would be Thomas Müller, because he was sat part on the bench under Niko Kovac, and he's really come back and flourished. But the other interesting thing here is, and we're talking about a Champions League final, what a night for the VAR to pick to go to the burger van. Oh, my God. I mean, the first penalty we could argue about, I actually personally thought it was a penalty because you've got the hands on him on Coman. Then I thought Mbappe should have had a penalty. I can understand the referee missing it, but when VAR looks at it, there's a clear taking out of the calf before the ball, if the ball was played at all. And then the Lewandowski one at the end, where he takes, I can't remember who it was, but he wraps his leg around Lewandowski before there's any contact in the ball. Where the hell was the VAR? Because these are difficult calls for the referee at full speed. And you know, in such a big game, we didn't see any of that.
No, we didn't see it. It was as if they were in a bit of a rush, or someone had left the monitor, or indeed not plugged in the VAR. Out of those three calls, Frank, do you agree with Craig?
I don't agree on the first one. I think it's not because you put your hand on the opponent's shoulder that the opponent's going to fall. I mean, that's not as simple as that. I mean, I didn't see, I think it was Kerrer on Coman pushing Coman. He just held his hand above or on Coman's shoulder, but didn't make any mistakes. And it's not that posture will put Coman down. Now, I agree on the Kimmich foul. For me, it's a real kick on Mbappe foot, and it should have been a penalty. I'm not sure about Lewandowski, the last one. I think, but I agree, it should have been checked out by the ref, but I think he didn't want to go to the VAR, and it might be something that the PSG will complain about. But anyway, it's going to be too late.
So the PSG penalty, yes, and the two Bayern calls, no, from the Frenchman, Ali.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Come on.
Shocked, I tell you. I'm surprised.
No,
I would have given all three of them
no,
penalties.
No, because...
All three penalties, all three. And we move on with our lives.
No, come on.
Well, the guys, thing you've got
guys,
to ask...
Guys, we played football. I can agree that Ali can say that because he was a striker that... If somebody puts his hand on your shoulder and you fall, there is a penalty. But Craig, we've done that as a reflex because we are in contact of the guy and you put your hand. But if I put your hand on you and we are playing golf, are you falling down? No.
No.
Because you play football because you want a trick. Because you want a trick. You want to trick the ref. That's why you go on the floor.
But I just think, I always go back to, and I hate doing this, but I think it is, and I do hate saying this because I hear it a lot and I'm guilty myself, but if that was a fullback running out of the left back area past a wide man and the wide man put the arm on the shoulder, the referee's going to give a free kick. So what's the difference when a player has outpaced and outwitted an opponent and got the other side of him, got the wrong side of him? He feels the hand on the shoulder. You're not, I know it's a contact sport, but once you put the hand on the shoulder, anyway, I thought they were fortunate. I mean, yeah, we should say VAR, it's not that VAR didn't check these things. VAR is running all the time. We should let, in case anybody doesn't know that by now, all these things are being checked by VAR. But what it was, the VAR official thought none of them were penalty kicks. Now, I can understand the VAR not thinking the Coman one was a penalty because that's subjective. But let's just take the Mbappe one. As Frank said, it was the Kimmich challenge. It is clear on replay that it is the calf of Mbappe that is cleared out, or the foot, right? Not the ball. How the hell can a FIFA official sit in a booth, watch the same thing that you and I and everybody else around the world has watched, and not alert the referee? That's the frustrating thing from a football fan.
More talk then about this final coming up. We want to focus more on Bayern Munich. Just a reminder, this is Bayern Munich's sixth Champions League title. Still, though, quite a drift, though, of Real Madrid's 13. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Just a reminder, you go back to November 3rd. Bayern Munich, a team that just won the Champions League, that's been heralded as one of the best club teams in the world. They were fourth in the German league and they just lost 5-1 to Frankfurt before Kovac got sacked. Hansi Flick has come in and the record speaks for itself, Craig. How's it worked so well for him?
Well, I'm pleased for him because, you know, here's a guy who would not have been, probably not, in the top of any big clubs, you know, looking for a top coach. But he certainly is now. And, you know, but obviously he signed a contract at Bayern after being the interim manager, and deservedly so. But I think it's just, you know, it's easy to say, well, he's harmonised the club and he's got the dressing room back and he's got all the major players happy again. And, you know, what do you want to do? He's talking to the players. He's letting the players have their feedback. You know, what? How do you want to be in training? What do you want to do? Do you want some more days off? And all this kind of thing, that is important. And I think it looks to me as if he's done that brilliantly. But the other side of the coin is as well, you know, the Davies at left back, Alaba into to centre back, Müller back into the team in his preferred position and happy. But also the way they play in terms of the high ball, the high line. What the high line does is it allows them to really squeeze teams. And when they win it back, they win it back very high up the pitch rather than winning it back close to their own goal and got 80, 90 yards to go. So a lot of the times when the press teams and the back line push up, the midfield push up, they're closer to the front line, they can win the ball back, and then they can play their football. And of course, they've got the ability as well, as when they do want to sit deep, they've got the pace to hit teams over the top. So I just think he's utilised the real strengths of the squad much better than what clearly Niko Kovac could do. And that's maybe a simple way to look at it. But here's the deal. When you've got really, really good players like Bayern have, you got to keep it simple for them and just let them go express themselves.
Who stood out for you today, Frank?
Well, of course, Coman, because he came for the final and did what he had to do, playing against his own his former club, you know, being left over in a way and wanted to have more time to play. So I think about it, but I think about Neuer. Neuer is a giant. I mean, he had three saves today, coming from, I don't know, somebody not coming from the same planet as other goalkeepers. We know Navas is fantastic. We know some others, they are exceptional. But that guy is, well,
Is that fair, Frank? Is that fair? He made a good start from Neymar, denied Marquinhos as well. But am I stretching to say you'd expect really any goalkeeper to make that save of that standard on this stage?
No, because he has a way to make saves, like a handball goalkeeper, that's very particular. And the one he does with Neymar on two chances in two seconds from Neymar, when he controls the ball of Neymar, then Neymar tries to cross to Di Maria, and he does again a save. I mean, he's very particular, and the reaction that he has in those two movements are absolutely, for me, exceptional. So he's a leader. And when you're a defender and you have a goalkeeper like that, I mean, you feel so confident that you can even try stuff that you wouldn't try if you had a fragile goalkeeper. So I think about him. I think also about Niko Kovac. I don't know what Niko Kovac thinks tonight about his time at Bayern Munich and what he missed with those players. Big question mark.
Yeah, I imagine it's slightly bitter. Obviously, a lot of talk we have had, Ali, about the future of Thiago, who is superb today.
Yeah, and when you mention what players stood out, well, he's one of the first names that came to my mind is Thiago Alcantara. How smooth at his best he can be in the midfield, how you can give him a ball in a tight area, and in one and two touches, he's out of that tight area into open space and opening up the field for Bayern Munich, and he does that time and time again. So if I see his individual performance today and I'm Bayern Munich, I'm thinking to myself, well, he's not going anywhere. He's got to stay right here, because right here is where he belongs. I just look at Bayern Munich and then the totality of the group, and a guy like Thomas Müller, who I have no idea what position he's playing on the field, to be quite honest with you. You can't tell me that somebody can sit in front of a blackboard and say, yeah, this is exactly what Thomas Müller does for this team. No idea what he does. But whatever he does seems to be efficient, seems to be effective and helpful, and he gets in the way of things defensively, and then all of a sudden he finds a rebound inside the 18-yard box and scoring a game-winning goal somewhere else. And that is truly, for me, what Thomas Müller has been under Hansi Flick, is that he has found a role, a job that works for him. Now a guy that plays more of the assist rather than the scoring goals. Another player who has found different roles under Hansi Flick is Joshua Kimmich, who today in the first half was playing more in a wider area, and that wasn't quite working out. So maybe it's by design, and maybe it's a tactical change, but the goal comes from the fact that Joshua Kimmich takes an inside position rather than waiting for the ball out wide. And in doing so, he finds an open space, a great ball over the top, good finish by Coleman, 1-0. See you guys later. Warm up the bus. It's time to go home. I just think from Bayern Munich, across the board, there's so many positives, and all of it works because Hansi Flick seems to be pushing all the right buttons.
Dan, just quickly, Dan, if I could mention Alfonso Davies again, and not because he came out of MLS and all that, but we've talked about him, and as his progression has been clear, turning from a left winger, a left-sided player, attacker, to a modern-day fullback. The modern-day fullback, you know, he epitomises it. We see Andy Robertson at Liverpool, Jordi Alba at Barcelona, all these guys, supreme attacking fullbacks. That's the modern left-back. But we can look at Davies' pace and his ability and his drive. But if we want to look at his maturity and understanding of the defensive aspect of the game, I think we got a clear indication in tonight's game that the light switch is on with him. And I don't know if Frank as a defender remembers this. Near the end of the game, there was a ball PSG whipped in from the left-hand side, and Choupo-Moting was in the penalty spot. And Alfonso Davies got goal side of him and blocked him. I've no real interest in what Alfonso Davies does going forward, because I know what he does going forward, right? He's brilliant, but he had to learn the defensive aspect of the game, and that was a clear sign that he gets it. He understands his responsibilities. He understands about positional sense, and I thought that was a perfect scenario of showing a young man who's learning that aspect of the game as he goes along.
Frank?
Yes, I agree. I mean, it was a real test for him, because, of course, if somebody sees every weekend Davies, he will say, well, he didn't bring enough, you know, offensively. But as Ali said, in another segment. You know, he was blocked by Coman, and I think Flick obviously decided to put him in a more defensive aspect of the game. And it was really spot on. I mean, he worked hard. Of course, he made mistakes. He's 19 years old, and he's gonna improve. But he did also another thing. On the action was on the left side, and there was a cross, and he did a header back to Neuer. In order to do that kind of things, you have to be informed of what's going on around you. And it's what he did exactly in perfection, where he had the time to see and give the perfect ball to Neuer. But you need to be mature in order to do that. You need to be experienced already. So he's spot on. He really wants to improve. And, he's going to be a great fullback. Left back, more than one, because he's going to carry on attacking, but he's going to give the good things defensively as well.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. A lot more from Frank, Ali and Craig over on our YouTube channel, answering your questions on Extra Time. Be sure to check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
What about these are some Bayern Munichs that unbeaten their last 30 games, 29 of which they won, by the way. A 100% record in the Champions League, unbeaten. Similar to that Manchester United in 2007-2008. In fact, eclipse that because they won every game. 15 wins in 15 matches since the restart, and they ended that season in a 21-match winning streak. Let's just take a look at a couple of newspapers. Daily Mirror in England going with Koeman the Destroyer, and also in England, the Independent going with, he's the Koeman the Destroyer. Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. If you're a Bayern fan, enjoy it. If you're a PSG supporter, could be worse. You could support Marseille. And we'll be back tomorrow for more. Till then, goodbye.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. We've got a lot of them, so let's rip through them. Starting off with you, Frank. I'd like to ask you all, especially Frank, why you guys kept saying this whole time Neymar has been playing the best football. Last time he played best football was in Barcelona. Also Mbappe, please stop talking about him so much. He's clearly not in a level to win.
Well, I never said anything about Neymar in that way. I think he was exceptional in Barcelona, and I'm still waiting for the Neymar from Barcelona to be nice to him. And I didn't see it tonight. I didn't see him. He'd see it the last two seasons because he was injured, and the last part of the season in Champions League especially. Now, you cannot talk about Mbappe like that. Mbappe is an alien of football. I mean, he can do fantastic stuff. Tonight, he was, let's say, clumsy, but also unlucky. Maybe a little bit tired, I don't know, but he's normally very effective. So I wouldn't be that harsh on Mbappe, because he was more involved in the game and also in the defensive game of Paris Saint-Germain tonight. So we have to be nice with Kylian.
Some Someday, listen, let's get to the crunch here. Someday our place has to filter these stupid tweets better, because that's up there with 100% stupidity. Right? I'm not even going to give that. I'm not even going to give that any airtime here.
Did UEFA change the rules for the finals? No penalties and no VAR. We, of course, discussed this on the show, Ali. They seem to be in a bit of a rush.
Yeah, and the surprising part is that you don't give the referee an actual opportunity to, at the very least, take his time and say, okay, hold on a second. Maybe I didn't see it at full speed, but maybe there's, if only there was a system by which you could possibly take a look back at the sequence and at a speed that you can appreciate and actually make an informed call. We have the system in place and somehow we don't use it, or at least in my estimation, we don't implement it correctly, and we just kind of move on. And for me, I would have given all three of them penalties. Maybe you can argue the one about Kingsley Coman. The other two, I don't think there's any doubt that those were penalties. But somehow we just kind of play on, move on, nothing to see here.
Was Tony Pulis in charge of PSG tonight, Craig? Terrible tactics for the money they have spent.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good point, because, you know, they were, as I said on the show, they're the ones that sort of blinked first in terms of, and we talked about it in the week. Would they try and track back and play a little bit deeper? Well, sometimes they did and sometimes they didn't. But they were more on the back foot than on the front foot. And that is something, I'm sure. And the Parisian newspapers, when they're looking at and analysing the game, maybe some of the harshest critics in France will be asking that question. I don't know. I didn't think it was an awful display, but it certainly wasn't a swashbuckling kind of thing that I think the owners would be looking for. Be saying, "Well, you know, we spent a gazillion dollars on all these players, and we didn't see any electricity." And I think, from a Paris Saint-Germain point of view, that would be slightly disappointing.
Ali, Dan, you know how I know? You know how I know that Tony Pulis was not coaching this team? No long throw.
No long throw.
Dan, if I can interfere in that matter,
you can interfere.
I want to talk about Thiago. Thank you very much. I want to talk about Thiago Silva. I'm not sure that Tuchel asked Thiago Silva and the defense overall to play a little bit deeper tonight. But remember the remontada in Barcelona with Thiago Silva, where Emery was asking Thiago Silva to play upper on the field, and Thiago Silva didn't want. So I want to know if Tuchel decided to play deeper, and right, maybe a journalist will ask the question tonight, or if Thiago Silva would decide to play his own defence a little bit deeper tonight.
Ali, was bringing on Choupo-Moting instead of Icardi the only mistake Tuchel made?
Well, no, I don't know that that's a mistake per se. Choupo-Moting scored an important goal for you leading up to this final, and it feels like Icardi has been out of the equation for a while now. So I don't know that he was ever in the mix to come into this match, and I don't mind bringing in Choupo-Moting. But by then, PSG had lost any sort of creativity and explosive movement or any sort of impact from the really big name players in this team.
Frank, do PSG require a rebuild, a new coach, or just a big birthday party?
That's a question that Craig will love to answer to. Well, they will have a big birthday party, because if Neymar stays, you know, for sure you will have one at least next season. I don't know if Tuchel is going to stay. Tuchel is the first coach who brought Paris Saint-Germain to a Champions League final. Well, we never saw Paris Saint-Germain spending so much money in 50 years. Today was their 50th year's anniversary of the existence of the club. So I don't know if they're going to change. We see some names. I think we'll have some answers beginning from tomorrow. But I can surely answer for the big birthday party, at least one.
Frank, it's interesting. It reminds me of England making it through to the semi-finals of the World Cup. We discussed that in the sense that who did they actually beat to get there? However, history, I suppose, will just remember they made it to the semis. Is this going to be similar with PSG, that we'll forget it was only Atalanta and Leipzig and Dortmund that saw them get through to their first ever final?
Yeah, I think it will be, of course, in consideration that maybe they had, let's say, an easy way to the final. But But still, you know, I mean, those clubs that they've been confronted to Paris Saint-Germain, they had a fantastic adventure in the Champions League, and they weren't there, you know, like randomly. This is because they had performances, and Paris Saint-Germain dealt very well with them. I mean, it's sometimes harsh to say, yeah, Atlanta is not is an average team. Red Bull Leipzig is an average team. I mean, we saw many big clubs saying, yeah, they're average team, but they lost. Lyon is an average team, and they beat Manchester City 3-1. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be taken in consideration, but I don't know if it's going to save Mr. Tuchel.
Thiago was immense, Craig, in Boston midfield today. Why would Bayern not want to keep him?
I'm not totally up to speed on this story. I think you can correct me if I'm wrong, if any of our colleagues have brought it up, but I think it's the player rather than the club, is it not?
He's got one year left, isn't it? 1 year left, Bayern are reluctant to give him a new contract, hence other clubs, Liverpool, for example.
Yeah, well, I think it could be coming down to the finances as well, you know, and I don't know what he's asking for. But clearly, if you're a manager, you want to keep a player who's played in one of your most successful seasons and played well. But it comes down to other issues, you know, length of contracts and money involved. And clearly, there's been a lot of talk about him going to Liverpool. Mm. That's been a club that's mentioned. But, you know, he's a super little player. And I'm sure in an ideal world, Bayern do want to keep him. But it might not just come down to the club want him to stay. It's down to what the player wants as well.
Yeah, I've just been told I was talking nonsense and he wants out and it's not the club. So, good.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, I would have been surprised if the club was saying, oh, you played great for us, but we don't want you and you're at the prime of your career. But for some reason, and I don't know what it is, he seems to want to change the scenery. But maybe this successful season will change his mind over the next 2 or 3 weeks. We'll see.
What usually happens, Frank, to all the wine, champagne and celebration items from the losing team? I suppose, were you on a losing team in the final, Frank?
I'm sorry, but never.
Never?
And 9 cups and I won all of them. So, and what can I say? Now, I lost the first French Cup and we celebrated because we were a small club and it was already a surprise.
Right.
When you are PSG and you lost, like they lost today, I think nothing much happened, you know. You take the champagne out of the fridge and you put them back to the cellar and you wait for another time. I think it happened to the French team, you know, in 93 when they thought they would qualify against Bulgaria in the last game in Parc des Princes, and they put the champagne, and when this and Bulgaria scored the last goal in the 93rd minute, one of the guy working for the national team went straight to the dressing room and put the bottle of champagne out before the team came out. Yeah. Came in. So that was pretty awful.
Craig, I'm at
listen.
Go on.
Yeah, no, I know what you're going to say. I might be preempting you here, but are you going to suggest we drink it anyway?
Well, yeah, that was also my suggestion. And also, when you lost the FA Cup final, I can't imagine you had T-shirts made up or anything like that.
Wait, listen, the Paris Saint-Germain players want to go and enjoy themselves and realise they got to a Champions League final. As Frank said, that's the first. Because, you know, poor performances and chances get missed and other teams sometimes are better, and there's no point, you know, shutting yourself in a dark room for a month and trying to get yourself over it. It happens. It's a game. It's football. You're going to win and lose, but we had a saying back in the 90s in the United Kingdom, and certainly in the football fraternity, it was win or lose on the booze, right? And that was the bottom line. Whether we won or not, we went out and we quickly got over it. So I would like to think Paris Saint-Germain, whilst been disappointed, will go away and have a bloody good drink.
But what about those that would say that's disrespecting the fans, Craig? That you
couldn't give
be
a stuff. Couldn't give a stuff.
Next question for you, Craig. Did you hear the commentators riveting conversation how they should reinstate the Ballon d'Or for Lewandowski?
No, I just heard Ballon d'Or.
Right, and that was
I didn't hear the conversation about reinstating the competition. I don't know why they cancelled the competition. I don't know why they cancelled the Ballon d'Or anyway. Clearly Lewandowski would have won it, but I'm sure he's over that already.
I'm happy.
Because we don't have to talk about it, Frank.
As Craig said,
and yet here we are talking about it.
I think we've got a special week build up to our ESPN FC presentation of the Ballon d'Or this week.
Oh yes, listen, our website will do some mocked up Ballon d'Or thing, and they'll probably, somebody will send out an email asking us to vote, and I will repeat what I repeated about 30 seconds ago. Get stuffed.
Final question for Ali. Which team can compete with Bayern and Liverpool next season?
The same ones that competed this year, and probably Manchester City would be one that would be an obvious choice. PSG, I don't see them going away anytime soon. Barcelona's in a rebuild, so I don't think so. Possibly Real Madrid, but that's about it. The list is short. It's not a whole bunch of teams that are just going to somehow compete for this title. And assuming, this is a big assumption, that we are in a different world a year from now, and we've been able to somehow accommodate this pandemic and COVID-19, and we've taken a step forward, it's going to be far more difficult to make a run into the finals if you go back to the two-leg affairs and having to play well in two games in a row and the away goal rule and all those things that come into play in Champions League. So this was a chance for a smaller team to make a run because it was a tournament style in one-off sort of games. And I think next year becomes a lot more difficult if indeed things change to what used to be normal, not the new normal.
Good stuff, guys. Nice one. Thank you very much. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. We'll be back tomorrow for more.
Apart from the first one,
yes. I think maybe we've already forgotten the first one.
Well, anybody that puts a tweet on our screen that suggests Mbappe's not a good player needs to get the hell out of here.
Oh, what a World
Seriously.
Cup. What a World Cup winner's medal to you. Yeah. That's it. Frank's got his fireworks.
Oh, Frank's light's gone.
Yeah, that's it. Wrap it up. Time to go. Cheers, guys.
Bye-bye.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.